Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I don't like it when things are done for me. I can thank my father for this. He raised me to work hard, or at least he tried to anyways. You want something, you better work for it. So I would mow the yard, I'd take out the trash, I cleaned my room. Sometimes. You want a car? You better get a job then. So I sold shoes. You want to go to college? You better get good grades then, because you're paying for it on your own. So I ran track. My father was the ultimate enforcer of working for what you want. Put your blood, sweat, and tears into something that you want. Now, when I say my father is the ultimate enforcer, I mean it. I have a story to prove this. One day, while we were on vacation, we were in the car. I was 18. First summer break from college, going into my sophomore year. My entire family is packed into my brand new 2008 Toyota Camry, which I had bought from selling a lot of shoes. It was around noon, and we had yet to stop for breakfast. We had been in the car all day, and I was getting hungry. So I asked my dad, "Are we going to stop to eat?" Without saying a word, my dad took the next exit, pulled into the parking lot of Burger King, and when all of us walked up to the counter, my dad was the first to order. He stopped and looked at me and said, "Since Jesse's hungry, he will be paying for everyone's food." Apparently, if you even wanted to eat in my family, then you had to pay for it. For everyone. I look back now and I laugh, and I remind my dad of that instance quite a few times. And I know that my dad was only trying to do what he knew best to do, instill a worthy virtue. That if you want something, you gotta work for it. You gotta earn it. You gotta pay for it. You gotta have some skin in the game. And because of that, I really don't like it when things are just done for me. I don't like it when things are just given to me. And neither do you. There's something quite unsettling about life just being given to you or something handed to you without even a word or a thought or some at least effort on your end. First of all, we all like to make choices. We like to have some say in the matter, some control over what happens, from the clothes that we choose to wear, to the food that we choose to eat, to the job that we choose to pursue, to the person that we choose to marry. Be a little bit unsettling if those things were decided for you. Here's your job. It's been done. Here's your wife. It's been done. Although now, as a father of two beautiful daughters, I'm starting to open up to the idea of arranged marriages again. That's another story for another day. Secondly, it's nearly impossible to receive something without at least feeling a little bit guilty about it. Like I'm unworthy or I don't deserve that. And now when I get something, I feel like I gotta make it up to you. You know, settle the score a bit. So if someone comes over, it's been done. Here's a family meal for you all. Well, now we got to return the favor, right? We can't just accept gifts from people. Nobody wants to show up to a Christmas party and receive a gift from that weird aunt or uncle that they dropped from their shopping list because a third child came along and they're not old enough to pay for Burger King yet, so the budget's got to get trimmed somewhere. Oh, we don't like these things being done for us. Makes us uncomfortable. It's unsettling for a variety of reasons. So when you open up the letter to to the Ephesians, Paul's letter in the New Testament, which we'll be journeying together through the next several weeks, and I encourage you to be reading it throughout the week. It's a little unsettling to see all these things that have already been done for you without a word or a say on your part. Why does Paul begin this way? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has blessed us. Past tense. Yes, it's been done. You've been blessed in Christ Jesus. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He chose us. Past tense. Yes, it's been done. He chose you in Christ Jesus. In love, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. He predestined us, past tense. Yes, it's been done. You've been adopted as sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us in the Beloved. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. Lavished upon us, past tense. Yes, it's been done. You've been lavished with the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained? Past tense. Yes, it's been done. You have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of that inheritance. Sealed with the Spirit. Past tense. Yes, it's been done. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. Well, wait just a second here. You can't just give me all these things. Paul, he comes right out of the gate with seven, if you count them up, seven spiritual blessings that you just get in Christ Jesus. No, wait a second here. I can't just have these things given to me. I got to earn it somehow. I've got to work for it. I've got to pay for it. At least let me choose. Let me have some skin in the game here, Lord. I've got to do something. I've got to have a choice. I've got to have a say. Try to make it dependent on me somehow. So we barter with God. Here, God, before you give me that, I want to make some promises. I will be a good Christian. I'll go to church. I'll read my scriptures. I'll raise my children to know you. I will do this, Lord. But before we even get a word out, the Lord simply says, it's been done. You're my child. I chose you before the foundation of the world, before you even had a say, before you could work for it, before you could earn it. It's been done. What do you mean it's just been done? You just can't have these things given to me like that. I'm not worthy of any of that. I don't deserve any of these things. There are people far more deserving of your grace than me. Do you have any idea what I do with your grace? I make a wreck of it. I abuse it. You can't just give it to me. Do you see how sinful that I am? You can't just give me heaven. You can't just give me all these spiritual blessings. I don't deserve any of them. But before you get a word out, the Lord simply says, it's been done. You're mine. In Jesus, Paul says, you have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of all of your trespasses. According to the riches of his grace, it's been done. It's been done. Paul writes these things as one who knows that he can take absolutely zero credit for his salvation. St. Paul, he lived a life fully dedicated to God. He followed the rules. He fasted. He prayed. He was zealous in keeping God's commands. A Pharisee of Pharisees, he says. He even writes in one of his letters, "Under the law, I am blameless." If anyone had a claim on earning their place in heaven, St. Paul may have been it. But Paul knew that he was still a sinner, that he was saved solely by the mercy and grace of God in Christ Jesus, that he had received in the Beloved One, he writes. I love it that Paul calls Jesus the Beloved, considering their first encounter with one another. Jesus blinded him, confronts him, frustrated. "Why are you persecuting me?" Tells him, "You're going to suffer much for my name's sake." And then Paul calls him the Beloved. Because Paul knew that he was redeemed by him, that he had been set free from earning his spot, from following the law perfectly. He had been forgiven for all of his sins by God's grace. That's why he calls him the Beloved. His love was even for him, the worst of sinners. All of his sins forgiven. Not according to the blood, sweat, and tears of Paul's hard work, but according to the blood, sweat, and tears of the Lamb. Why does God act in this way? Well, Paul can't stop writing about it. It's to show the immeasurable riches of his grace. He keeps writing about his grace throughout these first few verses. The praises of his glorious grace, the riches of his grace, the wealth of his grace, the immeasurable riches of his grace. God is a God of grace. Jesus is a God of grace, a God who forgives. Forgiveness is found in the Beloved One. And that grace, and that forgiveness, it's not free. It cost Jesus his entire life. It cost him his blood. It cost Jesus everything. Grace isn't free. It's just been paid in full by Jesus. He paid the price. Before you even had a say, he did it all for you. It is finished. It's done. Well, I guess we know why Paul begins his letter this way then. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the praise of his glorious grace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people.